with introducing the members of the PAC and also our guests. Unfortunately, right now, quite some members of the PAC could not attend, they excused, but nevertheless, I would mention also their names. So Pavel Alexeyev, unfortunately, he won't be able to be here. Lachezar Avramov, he's here. Martina Domnichkova, also. Unfortunately, Hartmut Fuss was also unable to attend, like Richard Hall-Wilton as well. Nikolai Kardirov is here. Yes, okay, you're here, okay. Alexei Kuzmin is here. Unfortunately, we miss Pavel Mikula as well. Myself, Diana Slavishnaya, I'm here. Unfortunately, Toby Pering also won't be able to be with us right now. Rafael Saladino is here, welcome. Again, Derek Sanga was unable to attend, and Jan Wasiski is here. Invited experts to this meeting are Alexander Joffe from Jülich and Manap Tashmetov from Tashkent, Uzbekistan. Oh yeah, it's okay, welcome. Ex officio members appointed by the GINR are Georgi Adam, Pavel Appel, Oleg Bielov, our secretary, Alexander Bilyushkin, Mihail Knatic, Boris Sharkov, and Yevgeny Krasavin. I can't see him. And let me, of course, also welcome representative of the directorate. I already mentioned Professor Boris Sharkov. By the way, he will be the new liaison of the GINR directorate to this program advisory committee. But nevertheless, Professor Sorin is here, Professor Itkis is here, and last but not least, the director of GINR, Professor Matveev. And of course, Professor Rednitsky is also here. I sincerely hope not to have forgotten anyone. So that was the introduction. And the next item will be our agenda. Can you show? Oh, well, it's of course not very easy to read, but nevertheless, you all have the agenda. I won't read it because that would take too long. My only question is whether you have any comments on this agenda. This does not seem to be the case, so I take the agenda as approved. And the next speaker will be, as always, the chair of the Program Advisory Committee, that means myself, and I will introduce you the implementation of the recommendation of the previous PAC meeting. So our last PAC meeting took place 22nd to 23rd January, and of course the implementation, since we are an advisory body to the Scientific Council, is basically the reaction of the Scientific Council to our recommendations. That was our agenda. Again, very hard to read, so I will practically skip it. I will only mention three highlights of our last PAC meeting. The first was the discussion of the scientific case for a new source of neutrons at GINR. The second was the cooperation between GINR and the National Synchrotron Radiation Center Solaris in Krakow. And the third one was, as almost always, the FNMP user program and information on IBR2 instruments. Let me start with the first one. Let me remind you the excellent presentation by Professor Viktor Lazarevich Aksionov about the development of the scientific case for a new source of neutrons. That was the niche of neutrons as expected right now for the next few decades worldwide, and this was a comparison of the various neutron sources and also on the right-hand side the comparable development of photon sources. You see the basic difference: photon sources, the intensity, the brightness, the brilliance of photon sources is increasing still almost exponentially. Of course, in case of neutron sources, both the intensity and also the speed of the increase is lower, but we all know that these two methods are complementary, so none of them is better than the others. We need, of course, both. The parameters in focus for the next GINR neutron source are listed in this transparency. The flux, background, frequency, wavelength, resolution, and last but not least, the pulse widths. Right now, IBR2 is a long pulse neutron source, a very special one, but we need both short pulse widths and long pulse width neutron sources. For example, even in condensed matter physics, we have different needs for diffraction, small angle scattering, refractometry on one hand side, and for inelastic scattering on the other hand. The efficiency determining factors in neutron optics, spectrometer performance, resolution, background, data collection speed were also presented by Professor Aksionov. This is just a comparison again of the parameters of ESS, peak, IBR2, and the design new neutron source. Unfortunately, we have no final name for this. Here it is mentioned as DNS4 at the last row of this slide. The reaction of the Scientific Council to our recommendation was very positive. The Scientific Council took note of the progress in the discussion of the scientific case for a new GINR neutron source replacing the IBR2 reactor after its shutdown, and welcomed the continuation of this program in close connection with the FNMP scientific plans. As concerning the physical scheme of the next neutron source in GINR, the basic idea put forward by Professor Aksionov was a super booster. Here the booster principle is shown in this slide, and in this one already the super booster, the Neptune super booster. I won't go into details because today we will have many much more detailed presentation on this idea. So this is basically a linear proton accelerator with variable pulse duration, plus a multiplying target station with periodic modulation of the reactivity, but the reactivity is very much subcritical. It's in the range of 0.05 to 0.002. Multiplying target is final power will be about 10 to 15 megawatt. And it will have it may have a long pulse option about or somewhat less than 300 microseconds, and also a short pulse option. The question is, why should we use neptunium 230 7 in the super booster. Here, five main advantages of this scheme are presented. First of all, the short lifetime of the prompt neutrons. It's in the range of several tens of so it's about 10 nanoseconds in comparison to IBR2, which is definitely higher than 65 nanoseconds. A lower background between the pulses, which is the result of the lower effective delayed neutron fraction. The potential for reactivity modulation, the facility operation time to fuel reloading is much longer than in case of a plutonium core. And last but not least, Neptunium is no nuclear weapon material, so it can be used more easily also from the legal point of view. This is again a comparison of the peak differential neutron flux. You see that the new neutron source here is mentioned as DANS. In the last row, it is by at least one order of magnitude higher, even as that of ESS. The peak neutron flux, it's again comparable or even it's even much higher again by something like one order of magnitude, and the time average flux is basically the same as in case of ESS. The suggested timeline, you remember, we have proposed this timeline. This was also accepted by the Scientific Council. So first we start with establishing an international working group. Right after this PAC meeting, we will have the kickoff meeting of this working group. Then we will organize international workshops starting this year and until the end of the conceptual design report will be concluded. Then next year, mid-next year, it's accepted that a short kickoff document about 50 pages will be elaborated by the International Working Group. The scientific case, the detailed scientific case, should be published until early 2020. A conceptual design report, again a detailed one, until the end of 2020. And afterwards, only, so to say in quotation marks, only the management aspects will continue. They are, of course, the most important ones. First, elaborating the administrative and financial model for the construction, commissioning, operation and decommissioning phases. This should be done until 2024, and then hopefully the GINAR Directorate and the plenipotentiaries, as well as of course the governments, should take a decision on the construction of the new facility not later than 23. The Scientific Council took note one of the possible concepts of a new source presented at the meeting of the PAC for condensed matter physics, where the subcritical reassembly of Neptunium 237 with a mechanical reactivity modulation controlled by a pulse proton accelerator, that means a superbooster, is considered as an option, as one of the possible options of the future facility. Summarizing, the Scientific Council recommended continuation of the work to study other options for the facility with a clear analysis of the parameters of the new source in terms of strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats with respect to the envisaged long-term user program. You will see the most developed version is right now the superbooster, but of course we have to investigate still all possibilities, because responsible decision can take place only if we have analyzed all ones. The next item, the next highlight of our last meeting was the status report on upgrades of the IBR2 instruments. Here on the right pane, you see the listed diffractometers, the new instruments, and the an instrument under reconstruction. In 2011, we had 11 instruments in operation. In this year, already 15 instruments are in operation. The Scientific Council highly appreciated the ongoing upgrades of the existing IBR2 spectrometers and development of new ones, which results in improvement of their parameters and extension of research areas, as well as making them more attractive for potential users. It supported the plans towards the further development of the IBR2 spectrometer complex, which take into account the reactor-specific features, high flux, long pulse, availability of cryogenic moderator, and will assure the maintenance of the instruments at the level comparable with other leading research centers in the world, as well as the extension of research areas and improvement of research quality. We have been dealing with in somewhat more detail with the new focusing guide design of the high pressure neutron diffractometer DN6 for investigation of microsamples under extreme conditions, and we have been impressed by the capabilities of these new instruments. The Scientific Council especially noted the progress in upgrading the DN6 high-pressure neutron diffractometer for investigations of microsamples under extreme conditions, sharing the PAC opinion that the ongoing improvement of this instrument should remain one of the priority activities towards development of the whole IBR2 spectrometer complex at the moment. The Scientific Council supported the further development of the DN6 and its subsequent introduction to the user program. As concerning the FLMP user program, the Scientific Council highly appreciated the FLMP's effort to run the user program at an internationally recognized level. The Scientific Council considered the user program to be the key instrument for securing the position of IBR2 as one of the leading neutron sources in the world, and encourages the FLMP directorate to further support this highly important activity, taking into account the PSC's recommendation on the need to upgrade the proposal assessment web applications being utilized within a professional system supporting the work of proposers, reviewers, and the FLMP management, as well as on a strict need of submitting experimental reports by all successful proposers as the necessary feedback. By the way, let me mention that this is already really in progress, and in the last proposer round, it seems that now proposers, most of them have already submitted their experimental report. The next item was the cooperation between GINR and the National Synchrotron Radiation Center Solaris. The Scientific Council supported the PAC's recommendation to the directorates of GINR laboratories working in the field of condensed matter physics to elaborate the details of envisaged cooperation based on a more detailed scientific case in terms of well-established user demands and the existing synchrotron radiation landscape. The Scientific Council welcomed the PSC's recommendation to the GINR Directorate to establish, together with the Jagiellonian University, a working group from both organizations with the participation of interested representatives of scientific centers of GINR member states, and provided with the necessary financial support in order to develop the concept of the laboratory and its future research program. So, thank you for your attention. That was briefly the summary of the implementations, and let me ask you whether you have some comments or questions. Thank you very much. This does not seem to be the case, so I think we may proceed with our agenda. So the next speaker will be Professor Sharkov, and he will report on the information on the resolutions of the 123rd session of the GINR Scientific Council, as well as on the decisions of the GINR Committee of Plenipotentiaries last March. So please, Boris, it's your turn.
Dear Mr. Chairman, dear members of the committee, experts, guests, it's my pleasure and my duty to let you know about the resolutions on the last meeting of GNR Scientific Council and later on the Committee of Plenipotentiaries. The session of Scientific Council, it was the 123rd session of GNR Scientific Council in February 2018. It was chaired by GNR DG Academician Matveev and co-chaired by Professor Valigursky. The agenda is given here. It started with the key report by the director, the scientific reports by Shvetsov, Korenkov, and Stankevich, and the recommendation of the PACs were under considerations, membership of the PACs, activities on NUPEC, and its long-range plan in nuclear physics, and reports of young scientists, elections, and award and prizes. The key report was given by academician Matveev, and Scientific Council congratulated GNR director Viktor Matveev for his excellent report, presenting the recent highlights in the activities of GNR in the context of the world fundamental nuclear physics science and covering the decisions of the latest session of GNR Committee of Plenipotentiaries and results of implementation of GNR scientific program in the first year of the new seven-year plan, and as well as major events in GNR international cooperation, some organizational issues. Scientific Council was impressed by the wealth of high-quality physics results obtained by GNR scientists in year 2017 at home facilities and of the Institute, as well as in external accelerators, reactors, and various collaborations laboratories. Resolutions. General considerations. Scientific Council was pleased to note the successful development of GNR research infrastructure, including the NICA mega project, the factory of superheavy elements, and the IBR2 spectrometer complex, and highly appreciates the efforts undertaken by GNR directorate and staff towards achieving the important milestones of construction and upgrading these facilities. The Scientific Council was also pleased to know that the international visibility of GNR and of its flagship projects is ramping up. The NICA project has already been included in the S3 roadmap and in the NUPEC long-range plan, and every effort should be made in order for it to become also part of the European strategy for particle physics. Synthesis of superheavy elements by GNR is a world-leading program. IBR2 is part of European neutron roadmap already, and neutrino research projects at the Kalinin nuclear power plant and Lake Baikal are also flagship programs and should be on the Astroparticle Committee roadmap. The Scientific Council supported this trend and highly appreciated the Directorate's attention to the advice given by Scientific Council on the integration of these facilities into European and global research infrastructure landscape. The Scientific Council took note of the meetings of Supervisory Board of the NICA complex project held on 2nd of February this year and its recommendation of the NICA development program for the next several years on this structure of its management bodies, on financial support, on its research program, and on the civil construction of the NICA complex. The Scientific Council expects that the first phase envisaging construction of the super heavy factory will be completed in summer 2018, and that the first experiments will begin by the end of this year, according to the timeline of commissioning this important complex as presented at the previous session of Scientific Council. The Scientific Council took note on the 10th meeting of the group of senior officials on global research infrastructure, which was held in GNR in October 2017, and underlined the importance of the acquainting its participants with the largest facilities of GNR research infrastructure. Scientific Council noted with great satisfaction the decision of UN General Assembly to proclaim 2019 as the International Year of Periodic Table of Chemical Elements and looks forward to the active participation of GNR, which gave outstanding contribution to the discovery of new superheavy elements in this celebration, including those planned by UNESCO. Now I come to the cooperation with the National Synchrotron Radiation Center Solaris of the Jagiellonian University in Krakow, Poland. The Scientific Council took note of the report Solaris New Laboratory for Structural Research at the Polish Synchrotron Solaris proposed concept and the complementarity between neutron and synchrotron X-ray scattering, the potential of the synergy between IBER2 and Solaris, presented by the directors of Solaris, Professor Stankiewicz, and by Frank Laboratory Director Valery Shvetsov. Well, cooperation with the National Synchrotron Radiation Center Solaris in Krakow, the Scientific Council considers fruitful the idea of building a laboratory for the structural research of micromolecules and new materials belonging to GNR in one of the member states, in Poland, namely in Poland, using the high-tech national research infrastructure. For the next session of Scientific Council, Council invited a detailed concept report for the new laboratory agreed upon by the two sides. The status of future development of LIT was presented by a laboratory director for information technology, Vladimir Korenkov, noting with satisfaction that a comprehensive effort being undertaken by the laboratory towards developing information technology at GNR. The Scientific Council welcomed the activities on the project of the multifunctional information and computing complex aimed at further development of the network and computing infrastructure of scientific research underway at GNR and its member states in accordance with the 7-year plan for the development of GNR 2017-2023. Extremely important is the status of future development of laboratory for information technology. Scientific Council, with this respect, supported the development of high-performance computing, new architectures and principles of the organization of the computation leading to innovation changes in the research strategy, and noted the key basis of scientific IT ecosystem, which is a distributed software configured HPS platform with combined supercomputer, grid and cloud technologies. Scientific Council recommended that the GNR Laboratory for Information Technology Directorate pay particular attention to the comprehensive development and improvement of the entire IT ecosystem at GNR, which contributes to refining scientific research, accelerating the production of results and new scientific knowledge, increasing management efficiency, signing out new forms of education, improving communication and interaction between scientists, and ensuring access to a wide range of information. Well, there were two invited talks given by the former and current chairperson of the committee NUPEC, Professor Bracca from Italy and Professor Levitovich from Ganil, France, and Scientific Council here those two invited talks concerning the activities of the Nuclear Physics European Collaboration Committee and its long-range plan. The respective resolution sounds. The Scientific Council supported Here, activities on NUPEC and its long-range plan in nuclear physics. The process of preparation of NUPEC long-range plan has involved efforts from 200 physicists from the nuclear physics community of Europe and from all NUPEC members. The future of facilities as well is well presented in this plan, with particular focus on FAIR, ISO facilities, NICA, and also SHE factory, as well as recommendations concerning the nuclear physics science to be addressed at those facilities. In particular, the plan highlighting the importance of NICA and super heavy factory projects on European roadmap for nuclear physics, it was stressed the importance of this infrastructure highlights of GNR in the European landscape. In addition, the role of theory, applications, R&D for future projects and of education of young scientists is emphasized. As member of NUPEC, GNR has actively participated in the elaboration of the long-range plan and will be one of the major driving forces in its implementation phase. While the realization of this plan of European and international levels proposed by NUPEC is coherent with the 7-year plan of GNR for the development of GNR in year 1723, and should tighten the links between GNR and its entire nuclear physics community in Europe. And there were recommendations concerning the PACS. Scientific Council concurred with the recommendation of the issues of particle physics, nuclear physics, and neutrino physics and condensed matter physics taken by the PACS of their meetings in January, February 18th. As reported by the chairs of the respective PAC, Professor Tseruya, Professor Levitovich, and Pavel Alexeev, the Scientific Council proposed that GNR Directorate should take into account these recommendations in preparation of GNR topical plan of research and international cooperation for year 2019. Well, the memberships of PACS. As proposed by GNR Directorate, the Scientific Council appointed Professor Adam Mai from Krakow, Poland, and Professor Niswiszewski from Grenoble, France, as the new members of the PAC for nuclear physics, each for the term of 3 years. As usual, there were reports by young scientists, and the Scientific Council appreciated the following reports by the young scientists, which were selected by and recommended by the PACS for presentation at this session. There were two presentations And the Scientific Council thanked the speakers, Ponomarev from Gelepov Laboratory, and Vishnieva from also from Gelepov Laboratory, and welcomed similar reports in the future meetings. Prizes and awards. The Scientific Council approved the jury's recommendation on the awards of Pantecoro Prize to two professors, both from Italy, from INFN, Bari, Professor Fogli and Professor Lisi, for their pioneering contribution to the development of the global analysis of neutrino oscillation data from different experiments. And Scientific Council approved the jury's recommendation on the award of JNR annual prizes for best papers in the fields of scientific research, instruments and methods, and applied research. Elections. The Scientific Council elected Valery Shvetsov as director of the Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics, and Vladimir Korenkov as director of Laboratory for Information and Technologies, each for second term of 5 years. And congratulations, new old directors. Then appointments and announcement of vacancies in the directorates of GNR laboratories. Scientific Council endorsed the appointment of Antonienko, Mikhail Ignatich, and Isaev as deputy director of Bogolyubov Laboratory of Theoretical Physics until the completion of the term of office of director of Bogolyubov Laboratory, Dmitry Kazakov. And Scientific Council announced the vacancies of positions of deputy directors of Frank Laboratories and Laboratory of Information Technologies. The endorsement of appointments will take place at next session of the Scientific Council in September this year. Now I come to the session of the GNR Committee of Plenipotentials. This was a regular session of Committee of Plenipotentials of the governments of the GNR member states. It was held in March 2018. It was chaired by the Plenipotential of the Russian Federation, Academician Trubnikov. Here you can see the agenda. It is more or less usual. The first was the report by the director, then the execution of the fair budget in 2017, given by Sergei Datsenko, draft of the revised GNR budget for the year 18, for this year, results of the meeting of GNR Financial Committee, then proposal for Finance Committee for the selection of company for auditing the financial activities, then supercomputer, the state of art project of development of GNR basic facilities, and current work of the development of GNR strategic long-range plan, election of the members of the Scientific Council, and endorsement of the appointment of position of GNR Vice Director. Well, first of all, the report by the director of the GNR. The Committee of Plenipotentials highly appreciates the director's report, presenting a detailed overview of the progress of implementation of GNR's high priority projects and their place in the long-term international programs of fundamental physics research. The committee took note of the recommendation of the session of the Scientific Council, of the GNR Directorate's information on implementation of GNR Plan of Research International Cooperation in the year 17, and on the priority activities for the current year. The committee recognized the significant amount of high quality physics results obtained by GNR scientists in year 2017 at home facilities of the institute, as well as external accelerators, reactors, and various collaborations. The Committee of Plenipotentials welcomed the efforts of GNR Directorate aimed at training scientific and engineering personnel for large high-tech projects of GNR and member state, as well as towards the development of the supportive institutes, education activities in general. The committee commended the work done by the JNR Directorate and staff towards developing institutes' research infrastructure, including, first of all, flagship mega project NICA, Factory of Super Heavy Elements, and the IBR2 spectrometer complex, as well as the effort toward achieving important milestones of constructing the upgrading these facilities. And the committee noted the significant ramping up of the international visibility of JNR and its flagship projects. Committee noted with satisfaction the holding on the March 26th of the festive meeting dedicated to the 25th anniversary of the accession of the Institute of a Group of Independent States. Committee also noted the signing of the letter of intent between GNR and government of French Republic, which creates condition for the entry of the French Republic into the states participating in GNR on the basis of governmental level cooperation agreements. And based on the results of consideration at the session of PAC of Condensed Matter, our PAC and the Scientific Council of GNR, of the initiative of the GNR Directorate of the Republic of Poland about intention of jointly establishing a laboratory of structural research of micromolecules and new materials at Solaris National Synchrotron Radiation Center of Jagiellonian University in Krakow, the committee supported the work of the GNR Directorate and the Republic of Poland for developing a cooperation agreement on the construction and operation of this joint laboratory. Financial issues. is based on the report presented by Sergei Dotsenko, Chief Accountant of GNR, and Mikhail Vasilyev, Deputy Head of the GNR Finance and Economy Office, the committee took note of the information on the execution of the GNR budget for year 2017 and approved revised budget of GNR for year 2018, with the total income and expenditure amounting to 268.79 million dollars. The committee approved the protocol of the meeting of the Finance Committee from March 2018, presented by Arsen Khvedilidze, Plenary Potential of Georgia, to GNR. And committee commissioned the GNR Directorate to finalize or prepare drafts of a number of regulatory documents. First of all, draft regulation for the programs of cooperation between GNR and scientific organization of the member states, draft regulation for introduction of adjustment for the GNR budget, and draft procedure for office of cost and offset of the cost of supplies of equipment, instruments, materials, services, and individual work on the institute's orders against payments of the member states' contributions. As proposed by Financial Committee, the Committee of Plenary Potentials selected the audit company, Korsakov and Partners, from Moscow as the GNR's auditor for the year 2017 and authorized it to conduct an audit of the Institute's financial activities for this period. The Committee approved the plan for auditing the financial activities of year 27 as presented by GNR Directorate. Now I come to the supercomputer Govorun. The committee appreciated the report, supercomputer, a state-of-art project of the development of GNR basic facilities. Please stop it. Presented by Vladimir Korenkov, director of LIT, and also visited the laboratory to participate in the presentation of the supercomputer named after Govarun. In view of this, the committee noted the significant progress in developing high-performance computing at GNR required for the radical acceleration of the complex theoretical research and hadron matter physics underway at Bogolyubov laboratory and for enabling the use of newest modern computing platforms in the NICA project, and welcomed the effort undertaken by the Laboratory Directorate for the Development of IT at GNR, amongst others, to support the laboratory's initiative to create a unified cloud infrastructure with GNR participating countries based on the supercomputing. The GNR strategic long-range planning, the activities towards the creation of this strategic long-range plan for GNR was given by myself. And the committee took note of this activity of the International Working Group for GNR strategic long-range planning and commissioned the GNR Directorate to regularly inform the committee about the progress of work of this international working group. Now I come to the membership of the Scientific Council. Based on the respective proposal, election of the membership of the GNR Scientific Council, presented by Alexander Sorin, Chief Scientific Secretary of GNR, the committee thanked the members of the Scientific Council for the successful work accomplished during the previous period and established the maximum composition of the Scientific Council comprising 50 members. By open ballot, approved the membership of the Scientific Council for the new terms of 5 years. Now, appointment of the GNR Vice Director. As was proposed by Director Viktor Matveev in his report entitled Endorsement of the Appointment to Positions of GNR Vice Director, the Committee of Preeminent Potentials endorsed the appointment of Professor Richard Lednitsky as Vice Director of GNR until the end of 2021. And entrusted the leader of the NICA project, Vladimir Kikilidze, to execute partially the powers of GNR's vice director until the end of 2021, with the continuation of his work as director of the Wechsler and Baldwin Laboratory of High Energy Physics, whose term of office expires in September next year. And prolonged for 1 year the right granted to the GNR director to extend the terms of office or to assign temporary duties of GNR vice directors, including to other persons, until their official approval by the Committee of Plenary Potentials. These three extremely important decisions. Here, I thank you for attention. I'm ready to answer your questions.
Thank you very much, Boris Yurievich, for this excellent presentation. And let me ask now whether someone has questions or comments. Okay, this was information, but nevertheless, if this is not the case, then thank you once again. And we shall now proceed with the scientific part of our meeting, which will first focus on the next GNR neutron source. As you see on the agenda, the next speaker will be Professor Pepelishev, but before he starts, Professor Aksionov asked for the possibility of making a very short presentation just to explain what the next item will be at all. So please, Viktor Lazarevich, the floor is yours.
Dear colleagues, good morning, everybody. So Danish asked me to present some short comment before the next presentation and to explain the appearance of this presentation. And so Danish described in details the ideas of a new project, which is named now Superbooster Neptune. And we present to you today the draft of a conceptual design report. So we are followed to the roadmap, which is shown here and which was presented to you in January of 2017. And so we started in these investigations in 2015. And the first stage conceptual research was finished last year. And on January this year, last January, the report on this work was presented to you. And so we continue our work and continue our discussions, and now we are going to the next step, to technical study. So I would like to mention that this project of Superbooster Neptune was presented here at this park three times, January, June 2017, and January this year. And it is published in several publications, was presented at a number of conferences and a number of seminars. And I would like to mention only three seminars in Kurchatov Institute and Doly Zhal Research and Development Institute of Power Engineering. Why? Because these two institutions are the key reactor research institutes in our country. And moreover, Doly Zhal Research and Development Institute of Power Engineering is our main designer of all our reactors. And additionally, it was presented in Budapest Neutron Center because we hope that this center will be our collaborator in the future. This project, as Danish has shown you, we hope will have absolutely outstanding parameters. However, it is based on new material Neptunium. I mean, new for civil applications. Before, Neptunium was used only in nuclear centers like Sarov nuclear center in our country. And there will be lot of work on investigations of preparation, fuel elements, and construction of these fuel elements. And it is not so simple work. And so on this reason, we decided to investigate the possibilities of neutron source on the base of known for us material, I mean plutonium. And so one of these variants will be presented by Yuri Pelyushev just after me. So I would like to draw your attention again to our conceptual design report, which you have, and I would like to mention that more detailed discussion of this report will be done tomorrow on the subgroup of working group of general working group on strategy. It will be in this room at 3 p.m. and I invite everybody, members of PAC, and everybody for this discussion, everybody who want to know more details of this project. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much, Viktor Lazarevich. I would suggest that this, since this was just a kind of introduction to the next presentation, we should discuss both together, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you once again. Just one question, Yuri Lazarevich, whether it would be possible to have this presentation also for the Indico, for including in the Indico server, so that all PAC members may access it.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Okay, so then we will proceed with Professor Pepe Lyshev's presentation on the proton-controlled high-flux plus neutron source for beam research. Professor Pepe Lyshev, the floor is yours.
Уважаемый председатель, я буду говорить по-русски.
Пожалуйста.
Уважаемый председатель, уважаемые члены программного комитета по физике конденсированных сред, уважаемые коллеги, уважаемые дамы и господа, тема моей презентации сейчас будет некий другой вариант концепции нейтронного источника, который можно будет реализовать вместо реактора Ибра-2. Я хотел бы представить авторов. Это Виноградов, главный инженер ЛНФ. Он непосредственно в свое время работал на Ибре-2, знает тему, поэтому может принимать правильные и верные решения. Пепелышев, ваш покорный слуга, это занимаемся вместе с Роговым, занимаемся в группе ядерной безопасности, я ее начальник, расчетным и экспериментальным обоснованием ядерной безопасности реактора. Мы, как никто, понимаем необходимость выбора нового источника вместо Ибра-2. Сидоркин Станислав Федорович – это сотрудник Института ядерных исследований в Троицке. С ним мы уже непосредственно занимаемся уже много лет проработкой размножающие мишени на основе Нептуния. Работы эти ведутся и сейчас. Поскольку эта тема достаточно сложная и трудно объяснить сразу, почему мы выбрали тот вариант, о котором я сейчас буду говорить, я просто несколько слов скажу, что мы занимались не только реактором Ибра-2, но в процессе работы реактора, понимая, что все равно так или иначе придется его менять, может не в нашем поколении, а в следующем, мы занимались и проработкой новых источников вместо Ибра-2. В частности, с Саровым в свое время, лет 15 назад, мы закончили работу по так называемым каскадным системам, управляемых ускорителем. Работы экспериментального плана были выполнены в Сарове, у нас расчетные методы Монте-Карло, а у них теория. Так это, не знаю, как дальше эта работа использовалась в Сарове, но у нас она спокойненько легла под сукно, но в нашем представлении она отложила определенные впечатления. Следующее. 5 лет назад мы занимались совместно с Департаментом энергетики США проблемой нераспространения, поскольку тогда в рамках ядерной безопасности эта проблема коснулась и реактора Ибра-2. В чем была задача? Задача состояла в том, поскольку это не секрет, что в реакторе в активной зоне ИБРУ-2 находится около 80 килограммов оружейного плутония. Естественно, возникает вопрос, поскольку эта программа была по нераспространению, подписанная президентами в то время Обамой и Путиным, естественно, возник вопрос, как бы поменять оружейный плутоний в реакторе на низкообогащенный уран или другие ядерные материалы, в частности, нептуний. 2 года мы занимались этой проблемой и пришли к определенным выводам, что с сохранением тех нейтронно-физических параметров, которые есть сейчас на реакторе, мы никак не можем на объединенном уране, вернее, на низкообогащенном уране, а считается, что низкообогащенный уран, который не является оружейным, это 19,8% обогащения, мы не можем получить те параметры, которые сейчас есть на ИБРУ-2, в том числе и на Нептуне 37. Это 3 года уже назад мы как бы для себя отметили, и в нашем понимании проблема реактора уже как-то прекратила свое дальнейшее развитие. Кроме того, мы исследовали еще дополнительные другие варианты, и оказалось, что реакторное направление сейчас в перспективе не имеет как бы будущее. Поэтому мы пришли к мнению, что самый лучший вариант это, конечно, некая мишень, управляемая протонами. По сравнению с электронами, это имеет большое преимущество использования протонных ускорителей. Но при этом, поскольку действительно существует большое, можно перебирать огромное количество этих возможных вариантов, которые отличаются, например, видом топлива, энергии протонов, током, системой охлаждения зоны, умножением, мы пришли к мнению, что необходимо ограничить наши требования к этому новому перспективному источнику следующими значениями. То есть это выставить некие граничные условия. Во-первых, считаем, что необходимо достичь по крайней мере 10-14 и более плотность потока нейтронов на поверхности водяного замедлителя на поверхности плоского водяного замедлителя. Потом, мощность протонного пучка не должна превышать 0,1-0,15 мегаватта. С точки зрения безопасности, мы пришли к мнению, что здесь должно быть 2 возможных уровня подкритичности. То есть реактор должен быть в подкритическом состоянии. То есть выполнять роль некого бустера. Коэффициент размножения не должен превышать 0,98. Второй вариант 0,95. По нашим правилам, пока которые действуют в России сейчас, на бустерах нулевой мощности по правилам ядерной безопасности, 0,98 – это установка, в которой не требуется применение системы аварийной защиты. То есть существенно упрощается пуск и контроль над этим источником. А система с коэффициентом размножения 0,95 – это вообще по требованию ядерной безопасности, это система контроля над отработанным ядерным топливом. Кроме того, одно из требований наших было использование реализуемых материалов, проверенных на практике, и технологий. То есть максимально сократить любые опытные конструкторские работы. Но все равно у нас остается огромное число перебора этих вариантов. А нужно выбрать оптимальный при заданных граничных условиях. Следующее. Мы все возможные системы, которые можно, источников нейтронов, которые в принципе могут быть использованы с ускорителями протонов, объединили, классифицировали в несколько групп. Это источники с неразмножающей мишенью, это типа ИССа, источники с размножающей мишенью, однозонный бустер, двузонный бустер и каскадный бустер. Других вариантов источников нейтронов с протонами не существует. В каждом из этих подгрупп мы определили оптимальный вариант источника с учетом вышесказанных ограничений. Здесь они в этой таблице как раз и представлены. Но с учетом того, что один из пунктов должен быть такой, что источник должен быть реализуем, и не только в перспективе, а уже сейчас, мы выбрали вот этот вариант, указанный красным столбцом. Это подкритическая сборка с активной зоной из двуокиси плутония и мишенью из вольфрама, которая работает на коэффициенте размножения 0,98 или меньше. Охлаждение осуществляется водой. Это как бы рисунок, иллюстрирующий предлагаемую концепцию этого источника. Активная зона разделена на две части. Активная зона из двуокиси плутония разделена на две части. И между этими частями вращается диск, являющийся одновременно мишенью вольфрамовой и выполняющую роль модулятора реактивности. Вверху активной зоны, снизу, вернее, сверху и снизу, расположены предзамедлители, на которых расположены снизу водяной замедлитель, сверху холодный замедлитель с водяным, с биспектральным спектром. Это та же картинка, как бы немножко в другом ракурсе с пояснениями. В данном случае эти картины являются расчетными моделями, с помощью которой были получены те нейтронно-физические характеристики, о которых я расскажу позже. Немножко остановимся на модуляторе реактивности и мишени как таковой. Вращение – это вращающая мишень. Частота повторения импульсов ускорителя у нас, ну, определяется, естественно, возможностями ускорителя, которых мы сейчас какие-то цифры закладываем, но это не обязательно фетишизм. В данном случае мы считали все параметры под частоту ускорителя 30 Гц. И вращение вот этого модулятора осуществляется с частотой 10 Гц. Что получается? Ну, здесь какая-то вытянутая, она немножко получилась. Она здесь вот вольфрамовые вставки, а по образующей еще заложены гафниевая поверхность, внутри которой помещается вода. Это сделано не только для охлаждения, но и для того, чтобы увеличить глубину модуляции реактивности. Вот этот модулятор реактивности выполняет, вот эта мишень выполняет и роль модулятора реактивности. По расчетам нашим, глубина модуляции в этом варианте может быть от 2 до 4% вот здесь, что здесь показан ход изменения реактивности, в данном случае для этой мишени. Что дальше? Дальше получается, что использование такого расчетного хода модуляции реактивности, импульс мощности расчетный, получается в таком виде. Здесь представлено при коэффициенте размножения 0,98 и времени жизни нейтронов 0,5 микросекунд и 1 микросекунда с частотой импульса 30 Гц. С частотой повторения импульсов 30 Гц, а длительность протонного импульса 20 микросекунд, здесь логарифмический линейный масштаб. Вот такая форма импульса для двух значений времени жизни. Время жизни нейтронов в активной зоне можно менять. То есть можно не то что менять, можно оптимизировать, вернее. И как видно, сокращение времени жизни приводит к сокращению длительности нейтронного импульса. Это во многом определяет уже и длительность тепловых нейтронов. Вот эти параметры, расчетные параметры импульса мощности. Фон, главное, обращу ваше внимание, что время жизни, если взять у нас равным 0,5 микросекундам, фон и глубина модуляции 4%, у нас фон будет порядка 3,5%. То есть не нужно гнаться за материалами, в которых бета-эффективность гораздо меньше, чем плутоний. Плутоний достаточно тоже хорошо проработанный материал с достаточно малым фоном. Замедлители. Собственно, источник является источником, во-первых, в первую очередь источником тепловых нейтронов. Поэтому замедлитель в данном случае, вот картинка сечения той расчетной модели, которую я выше показывал. Здесь холодный замедлитель на основе пароводорода, здесь активная зона, предзамедлитель, здесь вторая часть активной зоны, здесь водяной замедлитель. Система вся окружена бериллием. Далее идет бетонная защита. Бетонная защита здесь не проставлена, потому что отвлекает пока от этого представления, самой концепции. Но в расчетах она учитывалась. Что мы имеем в плане? Вот это нижний замедлитель водяной. Если протонный пучок выступает в этом направлении, нижний замедлитель ниже активной зоны имеет направление в обе стороны под 60 градусов, где располагаются далее нейтронные пучки. Верхний замедлитель, как я уже сказал, он биспектральный. То есть вот эта часть — это холодный замедлитель, просматриваемый с этой стороны и с этой, а вот эта часть — водяной замедлитель. То есть если померить спектр, то это будет выглядеть как холодный спектр и параллельно тепловой. Вот расчетный импульс тепловых нейтронов при коэффициенте размножения 0,98, а здесь 0,95. Длительность здесь 100 микросекунд, здесь 70 микросекунд. Это реакция источника на очень короткий импульс протонов в виде дельта-импульса. А это спектр нейтронов, летающих с поверхности плоского водяного замедлителя на умножение при коэффициенте размножения 0,98 и здесь 0,95. Видно, что тепловые нейтроны и быстрые существенно разделяются с преобладанием тепловых нейтронов. Нет у нас, потому что нет у нас прострела прямого от активной зоны на пучки. Это большое преимущество. По сравнению с Сибро-2, вот такой спектр, это еще достаточно большое достижение. Достижение. Конечно, мы можем сделать что угодно, но нужно еще снять, так сказать, тепло возможно ли это при такой конфигурации активной зоны и мощности? Расчеты тепловые показали, что при таких параметрах водяного охлаждения мы вполне можем снять то выделяющееся тепло на мощности, которой мы рассчитаны для источника 14 мегаватт, достаточно просто. Ядерная безопасность. Конечно, мы оценивали и возможность различных аварийных ситуаций, как поведет себя источник. Поскольку плутониевая зона охлаждается водой, у нас получается источник с достаточно такой хорошей внутренней безопасностью, поскольку основная проектная авария связана с потерей теплоносителя, который всегда рассчитывается и на который обращает внимание, должна быть сугубо отрицательной. У нас это огромный коэффициент по нормам ядерной безопасности, это 6%. Если вода сольется, реактор переходит под критическое, более глубокое подкритическое состояние. Никаких аварийных ситуаций в этом случае не может быть. Расчеты по другим вариантам аварийных ситуаций показывают, что в этих случаях эффекты реактивности или около нуля, или небольшие отрицательные. Но их можно еще усилить в лучшую сторону, то есть сбросить вниз с отрицательным значением. Это уже зависит от некоторых конструктивных особенностей, которые мы уже прорабатываем. К сожалению, не идет перемотка слайдов. Ну, я еще тогда продолжу немножко о том, что предлагаемая концепция нейтронного источника вместо Евро-2, она вполне реализуемая, еще имеет запас модернизации в лучшую сторону, естественно, и над этой темой мы работаем. А это основные параметры предлагаемого нейтронного источника. Мощность 14 мегаватт, топливо двуокись плутония с такой массой, материал мишени вольфрам, теплоноситель вода. Расчетные пока сейчас, вариант, который я сейчас представляю, это 30, скорость, частота повторения импульса 30, мощность протонного пучка 0,1 мегаватт, энергия 1,2 ГЭВа, длительность в расчетах использовалась как 25 микросекунд, время жизни получается 0,5 микросекунды, коэффициент размножения в данном случае по этим параметрам 0,98, эффективная доля запаздывающих нейтронов определяется как для плутония, как и для Евро-2 165, 10⁻³. Уровень фона 3,5, обращу ваше внимание, что сейчас на реакторе 8,6% уровень фона. Плотность средняя на поверхности гребенчатого замедлителя водяного получается 4×10⁴. Пиковая порядка вот этой величины. Длительность теплового импульса 100 микросекунд, а длительность импульса мощности в зоне 30 микросекунд. Таким образом, в заключение хочу сказать, что источник реализуем и относится к классу высокопоточных источников как в настоящее время, так и в будущем. Источник является глубоко подкритической системой, поэтому с точки зрения ядерной безопасности он достаточно безопасен. Нейтронный поток на уровне ИСС, а мощность, прилагаемая для этого источника ускорителя протонов на мишени, ну, можно сказать, на порядок меньше, чем, например, высокопоточных источников нейтронов, которые сейчас существуют в мире, где протонный пучок на уровне 3 или 5 мегаватт. Все, благодарю за внимание.
Спасибо вам большое, профессор Пепелищев. Вопросы, замечания есть? Questions, remarks, please? Please, Саша.
Thank you very much for this impressive talk. Я должен говорить по-русски. Спасибо вам большое за хороший доклад. У меня следующий вопрос. Все расчеты были сделаны на частоту повторения 30 Гц. Что будет происходить, если вы уменьшите частоту повторения 10 Гц, чтобы сравнить, допустим, с Нептуниевым проектом? По идее, все должно значительно упроститься втрое, или это наивная оценка?
Нет, это... Мы сейчас работаем над этим. Мы изучаем фоны, во-первых, так, изменение фона. Что может измениться? Может измениться конструкция, тепловой съем с мишени в этом плане. А нейтронно-физические характеристики могут не измениться. Но мы сейчас этими расчетами занимаемся. Как раз вот, что будет, если у нас будет меняться глубина реактивности модуляции и длительность вспышки, а также время жизни нейтронов в зоне. Это такая комплексная задача, которую необходимо сделать, и мы этим занимаемся. Но по сути особо изменений здесь не должно быть.
Саша Бельдишки.
Я тоже, чтобы Юрию Николаевичу было понятнее, задам вопрос. По-русски у меня к двум вариантам проекта вопрос именно по ускорителю. Предполагается, что ускоритель как данность. Тем не менее, у нас есть замечательный институт ядерных исследований, в котором, наверное, самый институт с большим опытом по созданию высокопоточных протонных ускорителей, в том числе и для производства нейтронов. Значит, вот очень хорошо, что здесь участвует Сидоркин, который из Института ядерных исследований, но как-то ни в одном из проектов я не видел ни Кравчука, ни специалистов именно из Института ядерных исследований, которые могут с практической точки зрения сказать по ускорительной части. Это первая часть. Мне кажется, что это надо устранить, этот дефект. А второе, в ИАИ уже большие инвестиции сделаны в капитальные вложения, в здания, в сооружения и в, собственно, ускоритель. И вопрос, что правильней, это такой философский вопрос, а мишень новую делать в ИАИ в сотрудничестве с УИАИ или строить новый ускоритель в УИАИ в сотрудничестве с ИАИ?
Спасибо большое. Ответ будет...
Я не понял, к кому обращается вопрос?
Это более-менее замечание. Или если вопрос, тогда дирекции.
Вопрос все-таки, когда представляется проект, нельзя отметать какую-то важную сторону, что вот протонный пучок мы считаем, что нам кто-то принесет вот с такими параметрами. Хотя, с моей точки зрения, это вещь тоже нетривиальная.
Я коротко отвечу. Значит, главная содержательная часть обоих проектов, и то, что сейчас Юрий Николаевич рассказывал, это не последняя версия. Я еще раз хочу повторить, что мы будем продолжать изучать мишени как некий резервный вариант. Потому что тот вариант, который был представлен Нептуне, товарищи, не надо забывать, что мы говорим о машине, которая будет через 20-30 лет. Поэтому мы сейчас, если будем оставаться только на том, что есть у нас сейчас, ну, мы на этом уровне останемся. Поэтому вот в проекте «Нептун» там заложены новые перспективные вещи во всех отношениях. Но я еще раз повторяю, что тем не менее мы, конечно, будем продолжать изучать варианты разные другие. Ну и, конечно, в первую очередь с плутонием, поскольку плутоний мы хорошо знаем, он здесь у нас работает уже 60 лет в Дубне. Это первое. Теперь второе. Главная содержательная часть вот любых этих изысканий, Нептун, Плутон, еще будут варианты, это именно мишенная станция. Это именно вот вся изюминка этого проекта состоит в идее супербустера. Идея супербустера, которая появилась здесь в Дубне в 1964 году, себя оправдала, и она дает наибольший выигрыш. Суть этого супербустера – это размножающая мишень, я подчеркиваю, с модуляцией реактивности. И вот теперь я перехожу к ускорителю. Таким образом, у нас, в отличие от всех других источников нейтронов, у нас появляются два параметра, которым мы можем регулировать нашу конструкцию. Это первое, это коэффициент размножения нейтронов вот в системе с модуляцией реактивности, который может дойти, вот сейчас внимание, его можно довести до 500. То есть умножение нейтронов, которые генерируются внешним источником, он доводится до 500. В этом большое достижение. И есть у нас ускоритель. Таким образом, с ускорителем ситуация такая. Если у вас есть деньги и возможность сделать хороший ускоритель, что значит хороший ускоритель в данном случае? В данном случае достаточно 1 ГЭВа, 1.2 ГЭВа, вот о чем Юрий Николаевич говорил, это заложено и в Нептуне тоже. Тогда подкритичность будет самая низкая. Но если у вас недостаточно денег или нет возможности сделать вот такой ускоритель, который сейчас уже доступен, скажем, в Нептуне мы ориентировались на ускоритель SNS, Spallation Neutron Source в Окридже. Ну, тогда вы спускаетесь по энергии, соответственно, удешевляете ускоритель, ну, поднимаетесь по подкритичности. Вот есть эти два параметра. Ну, а теперь конкретно об изготовлении ускорителя, о производстве, о проектировании. Это следующий этап, который вот сейчас начинается. Вот, собственно, он уже начался. И уже мы ведем обсуждение с Институтом теоретической физики имени Алиханова и с МИФИ, которые вот, по нашим знаниям в настоящее время являются ведущими специалистами в ускорительной области. Так что еще раз подчеркиваю, что в нашем проекте ускоритель – это не главный элемент. Ускоритель мы будем использовать тот, который будет доступен, ну, вот тогда, когда подойдет дело. Но тем не менее, завтра, я еще раз повторяю, завтра вот будет в 3 часа здесь обсуждение, в том числе будут специалисты из ИТФ, специально пригласили там, можно и про ускоритель еще проговорить. Да? Так что вот такая ситуация. Спасибо.
Thank you very much. I think we... No, sorry. One more.
Значит, ускоритель, конечно, это всегда важнейшая часть в импульсном источнике нейтронов. И особенно там краеугольный камень здесь – это ток во время импульса, то есть пиковый ток протонов во время импульса. До сих пор вот самый мощный ускоритель, используемый для производства нейтронов, это ИСС. У него ток, пиковый ток составляет 60 миллиампер. Вот проект, который сегодня докладывался, здесь пиковый ток даже в режиме 30 Гц должен быть, вот Юрий Николаевич не указал пиковый ток ускорителя, я примерно прикинул, что он должен быть 250 миллиампер.
110 микросекунд.
Не микросекунд. Я говорю про ток.
А, ускоритель. 110 миллиампер, пардон.
110 миллиампер, да. при 30 герцах. Значит, при 10 герцах он должен быть 3 раза больше. То есть 330 миллиампер. то время как максимально достигнутый сейчас 60 миллиампер. То есть это есть большой минус данного проекта, что здесь не учтены технические возможности постройки ускорителя с током порядка, так сказать, 0,3-0,5 миллиампер в импульсе. Благодарю за внимание.
Могу ответить?
Thank you very much, Professor Shabalin. I think now we have to proceed with the next presentation. Let me nevertheless mention that we will have possibility to go on with the discussion tomorrow during the closed session and also during the kickoff meeting of the subgroup. But I think this lovely discussion has already shown the necessity of organizing this series of workshops. We really have to go into details before the final decision. So let me thank you once again for your presentation and also for your active participation. And let me call the next speaker, Professor Ligachin. He will make a presentation on nuclear physics at a new Dubna neutron source. Obviously, another aspect. We are the condensed matter pack, but we have to pay attention also for other points of view of the new neutron source. So the floor is yours, Professor Chagin.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My talk has a title, Nuclear Physics at New Dubna Neutron Source, but I'm not going to give you detailed program in nuclear physics at the new source. My aim is to show you what the Department of Nuclear Physics and Solid State Physics has some common interest at new source in Dubna. I have some formal reasons to present this talk here. The first of all, about new source was several reports at the previous PAC meetings, and you are involved in discussion about these sources. The second, I would like to show what the nuclear physics and nuclear researcher will pretend for the several neutron beam and the new source. Its source should be not only for the solid state physics. And the main, we hope what the, we, I mean, nuclear physics department and condensed matter physics department have a common interest in a very cold neutron source, and we need to join our efforts, to thinking about the organizing of this source. This is a just example of the possible scheme of new source. It was presented at the previous PAC meeting. The another scheme was presented in the previous report by Professor Pipiloshov, but both scheme has the same features. It's a source based on the proton accelerator, and the source which has a subcritical target with a multiplication of the neutrons. And we discuss main parameters at the level average thermal neutron flux density about 10 to the 14 newton per square centimeter per second, instantaneous flux density higher than 10 to the 16, and discuss pulse widths between there are different regime of the possible operation of the sources with a short pulse 20-30 microseconds and the wide pulse 200-300 microseconds, and we discuss a repetition rate between 10 and 30 hertz. When our local work group start discuss the scientific program for the new source and the nuclear physics, we keep in the mind what this source will be based on the proton accelerator, and we hope it gives us possibility to flexible change the pulse width. So we prepare several lists of the experiments depends on the pulse width. But I skip these two groups with a very short pulse width because it needs additional target and other proton beam structure, I think. If you will say about short pulse between somewhere 20-30 microseconds, The list of the experiments mainly consists of the research with the lowest neutron resonance. It's a search of the known and old effects and searching for new one. Measurement of parity relation effects in the lowest neutron resonance. Precise measurements of neutron cross-section in the low-lying resonance. Other type of the experiments, well-known at measurement of a neutron-neutron scattering cross-section and measurement of neutron lifetime. I mean, this is a beam experiment for measuring neutron lifetime. These two experiments, in principle, could be realized with a long pulse. But if we're thinking about long pulses, we should add a researcher with ultra-cold neutrons and a researcher with very cold neutrons. And my report will be dedicated mainly to this position. There are a lot of experiments which we can realize at the new neutron source, but these experiments, in principle, don't need the pulse structure of the source. This is, again, experiment with ultra-cold neutrons, search symmetry breaking and fission interaction with high nucleus, with light nucleus, and research with exotic neutrons, exotic neutron-rich nuclei. I mean, it's a uranium-5 target in the intense neutron flux with extraction some fission fragment to the experimental hole. Further, I will say about very cold neutrons. Very cold neutrons is the neutrons with velocity between 80 to 200 meters per second. This region lies between the ultra-cold neutrons, which are widely used in precision particle physics experiments, and cold neutrons. Cold neutrons has extremely broad applications in various domains. It's, you know, the solid state, soft matter, and chemistry, and so on, and also in the fundamental research for it's used for studies of neutron decay parameters and fundamental symmetries. Very cold neutrons looks very attractive for a lot of experiments. This is experiments not only from the domain of the particle physics, but also from the main solid state physics. This is some list and some examples of the experiments. For example, with a very cold neutrons, we can search extra short range interaction at neutron scattering or realize experiment with neutron in a whispering gallery. This experiment is dedicated to searching of new physics beyond the standard model. So you can measure precise neutron lifetime in beam measurements. And for example, search neutron anti-neutron oscillation. In the field of the solid state physics, we can improve spin echo technique to get new quality of the research to improve the sensitivity in the reflectometry, high resolution inelastic scattering, small angle scattering, and I think in diffractions. The main advantage of very cold neutrons, it's a long time of observation in the experimental setup, large angles of reflection from mirrors, large phase shift, and as a result, more sensitive this neutron to contrast variation, large capture cross section, and big contrast and transmission. Also, the large wavelengths. So, I hope and I think that using very cold neutrons, we can give a new quality of measurements and neutron physics as a fundamental research, as a solid state physics research. Main disadvantage of very cold neutrons is the reason why it's not used widely now, the small flux intensity of such neutrons, because like in the case of the ultra-cold neutrons, we can use only a small part of spectrum. And this is illustration, some examples of the publications I prepare to show you what people thinking about using very cold neutrons more than 50 years. This is papers, the production of very cold neutrons, experiments, and other application presented. All these people you know, I think, very well. It's Bob Golub, Ushikov, Shapira, Rowan Geller, Nisvizhevsky. But mainly these people from the domain of the fundamental research, not from the neutron scattering. Times to times, people organize dedicated workshops how to more efficiently we recode neutrons as a different neutron source. The last was organized in 2016 in Oak Ridge. And our group with our colleagues from France thinking about how to improve intensity of very cold neutron source, start developing of new technology reflectors for very cold neutrons, and we hope it allow us to increase intensity of this source. This is a list of our main publications. These works presented every year at our annual seminar ICIN in Dubna, but I think what the community here not very familiar with these results of this work. This is an illustration, reflectivity of isotropical neutron flux, depend of the neutron velocity. This is a logarithmic scale for well-known neutron reflection. Neutron reflection are widely used for in nuclear physics and in nuclear technology to increase efficiency of using neutrons. For example, in the reactor, you know the graphite and beryllium reflectors used to reflect neutrons back to the active core to increase efficiency, neutrons for fission. These reflectors very effective in the region of the thermal neutrons. From the other side, for very cold neutrons, we can reflect neutrons via optical potential of the matter. And this is the region of very of outer cold neutrons. These neutrons you can store in the traps and make a very precise experiments with outer cold neutrons. But this region was very narrow, only up to 8 meters per second for neutrons. You can extend a little bit this region via using the super mirror. But unfortunately, you can't use super mirror and high intense neutron field. So you see that there is a very deep gap in the reflectometers between in the region of cold and very cold neutrons. Nevertheless, we can use this super mirror only and very small angles to extract neutrons, very cold and cold neutrons from the neutron source to the experimental hole, but only at small solid angle. Our idea was to use the diamond nanoparticles as a reflector for very cold neutrons. In the region of energy less than 10 to the minus 4 electron volt, wavelengths of the neutron comparable with the dimension of the, comparable with the size of the nanoparticles. And as a result, we have large scattering probability of large angle of the scattering inside the matter. And after a lot of scattering inside the powder, neutron will escape back to the this space, half space. And so we can construct effective reflector at any incidence angle for in this region of energies. For cold neutrons, wavelengths of the neutron much smaller relative to the particle size. So the cross section is smaller, angles of scattering is smaller. If neutron come to the powder perpendicular to the surface, it pass very deep into the matter and will be kept at never return back. But in this case, it's possible to search for so-called quasi-mirror reflection if neutrons fall to the surface at small grazing angles. After several reflected, it could be returned back again at small angle, so-called quasi-specular reflector. Our theoretical estimations was very brief. This theoretical estimation for ideal powder of nanodiamonds. But our first result was obtained very promising, but not ideal. To realize this measurement, we construct a trap for very cold neutrons. It was a big trap with the walls from the nanopowdered diamond. And this result was published in 2009. The main reason of discrepancy between the experimental results and the theoretical predictions, this is contamination of different atoms in the powder, in mainly atoms of hydrogen. Of course, diamond is the best choice for such a type reflector. It has a very small size of particles, has a very large contrast, big effective potential. Carbon has a very low neutron capture, but there is a mixture of some hydrogen and some metal impurities that are in the powder, and it leads to the additional losses neutron inside the powder. The concentration of the hydrogen was measured. It's one atoms per about 10 carbon atoms. In principle, you can decrease it twice if you pumped out the water, but residual hydrogen is a chemically bound to the carbon. It you can remove it by heating or by pumping. Our colleagues from France, from the University of the Clermont-Ferrand, find the technology how to remove hydrogen from the diamond surface. They use fluorization and decrease concentration hydrogen inside the powder 35 times. This is an illustration how decreasing concentration of hydrogen improves quality of our reflector. Now, this is experiment on the reflectometer D17 in ILA. They cold neutrons fall to the layer of the diamond powder and reflect it to the position-sensitive detector. This is a pattern of detector, scattering angle, and neutron wavelengths for raw powder and fluorinated powder. This is difference between the red and black curves give us the reflector, the probability for neutrons to be reflected to the detector depends on the neutron wavelengths. Red lines for fluorinated powder and black lines for the raw powder. You see this line high at any angles, 1 to 3 degrees, but you could understand what the quasi-mirror reflection not so sensitive to the admixture of hydrogen because at small angles, neutron scattering several only several times inside the powder. This result was presented in our ISIN and was published recently in the PDRF-A. Unfortunately, we have now a lot of fluorinated powder to construct the trap and measure reflectivity for very cold neutrons from the fluorinated powder. So we propose another experiment which illustrates efficiency of our reflector for extraction of very cold neutrons. We construct some so-called neutron guides with the walls from the fluorinated diamond powder. The length about 30 centimeters, the hole in this neutron guide about 3 centimeters, so the relation between the length and the diameter is 10. One end of this tube was closed plug with the same powder, and very cold neutrons after velocity selector come from the small hole in the side of this tube to the bottom and reflect to the cavity of the tube. And we measure the exit flux of very cold neutrons dependent on the velocity at this exit end and compare this flux with the flex, which should be if the neutron just reflected and comes to the exit hole according to the solid angle. This is a scheme of the simulation. This is a pattern of the position sensitive detector. It was found that the flex could be increased 10 times depending on the neutron velocity. But this is now a preliminary result, not published yet. So, in principle, after simulation, it's possible to estimate the reflectivity from this powder. And we see our previous results show that we're somewhere between now, between our first experiment and the experimental and the theoretical curves. We have some idea how we can improve our powder further. The first of all, we should deagglomerate the particles. We know that inside the powder, diamond agglomerates in some complex and can clean this powder now from nitrogen and metal impurities. So, I come to my conclusions. The first of all, nuclear physics has a wide research program for new neutron source. It will demand neutron beams. This is my main statement. The next is we definitely would like to have intense ultra cold neutron source. Very cold neutrons looks very promising too, as a very promising tool for the research in field of solid state physics and particle physics research. Diamond powder could be used as efficient reflectors for very cold neutrons at any angles and for cold neutrons in glancing angles. So it was demonstrated that there are new reflectors for effective very cold neutrons extraction from a source. And it is neat to include the main conclusion, I think, ultra-cold neutrons and very cold neutron source to the list of the new neutron source tools. And new developments for very cold neutrons reflectors should be taken into account on the construction of very cold neutron source. And I hope we should join our efforts in this field. And I think it's time to discuss how this source could be constructed, because the main idea is to use the feature what the real source have not yet constructed, and we can make some use some features and propose some technical solution for these sources before it will be included, before the technical project exists. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for this excellent presentation. Let me immediately add that Professor Niedzwiedzianski has already submitted a proposal to the working subgroup, which will be probably also discussed tomorrow afternoon, to build a special moderator for very cold neutrons at the next GINR neutron source. I wonder whether you have questions and comments. Sasha, please.
So it was very nice presentation of the activities you are personally involved. However, the title of your talk was a bit more broad, and I wonder why you are concentrating on the research you are performing at ILL, which is definitely very nice, perhaps excellent, and the best neutron source in the world for such kind of investigations. But to my knowledge, the original program planned for nuclear physics at IBER2 is constantly diminishing. The experiments which were started in the past, they stopped, and there were no new experiments proposed for IBER2. At the same time, what is being done at ILL in this field can be continued at ESS when it has started its operation, because the average flux at ESS is meant to be at least not lower than at ILL at the moment. This is why they used this very long pulse neutron structure to reach the average neutron flux comparable to ILL. Why do you think we shall need the pulsed structure first to solve some of those problems? Why, if you need 230, 100, 300 microseconds, which is available at IBER2, none of these experiments is being tried to be realized at IBER2, at least with low precision, but at least you have some experience before you go to a new neutron source with these ideas, and perhaps the neutron lifetime in 20 years' time will still be measured by someone. But in fact, it is known that people are using different approach to solve the same problems. Some of the problems mentioned here can be resolved with the protons in principle. At the same time, with the high flux proton accelerators, many facilities are building and put in operation muon experiments for fundamental physics as well for condensed matter physics. And it is not mentioned in any project of the neutron source based on proton accelerator.
It was a lot of questions. Maybe I not remember all of them. The first, why we not realize this program at the IBER2, for example. IBER2 has a long pulse like this, and in principle, For these experiments, we have no enough resolution and intensity. So for neutron-neutron scattering cross-section measurement and measuring on neutron lifetime. For sure, for neutron-neutron scattering, it's good to have a pulse structure. This experiment was proposed like the first experiment for the IBER 2. But now we have experience for real. We have tried to realize this experiment in the pulse reactor EGR in Snezhnsk. And we have experience in this experiment. And we think what the IBER 2 is not suitable for this experiment. And advantage of the new source, we can, as I say, include in the project some features which could be useful for the experiment. For example, if we will say about neutron-neutron scattering experiment, we should include in the project some special design of the moderator and some special through channels in the reactor. For ultra-cold neutrons, this is a different story. Of course, in principle, ultra-cold neutrons not need the pulse structure of the neutron source. But nevertheless, there is old idea of Shapiro to accumulate pulse density of the ultra-cold neutrons. Unfortunately, nobody realized this idea yet. There is no technical solution to realize accumulation of pulse density of ultra-cold neutrons. In this project, average flux density is quite high, and we can construct a source of ultra-cold neutrons. But again, if we will thinking about IBER 2 for realization of this idea, at the existing setup, I should fit my idea to the presence geometry. You know, it's very difficult to construct very ultra-cold neutron source at the IBER 2 because I need to think about the shutter, how to move my channel very close to the active core of the reactor. At the new source, at the new project, I can involve all needs in the project. I think I answered two questions, but it was other.
The main question is that many problems which are addressed by this kind of experiments can be addressed and are addressed by the proton collision, by muon physics, and that many facilities which are using neutron scattering based on the production of which is based on the proton accelerator people are building muon facilities, muon setups for fundamental physics as well as for condensed matter physics, and muons are not mentioned in any projects at all.
Ah, okay. Maybe it's a good question, but mainly we think in our work group about nuclear physics with neutrons. Maybe only one exception is a program with exotic neutron-rich nuclei. But it's a good question, and we can start to think about the muon physics too.
Further questions, remarks? Well, I think that was really Victor.
So I would like to thank Professor Belushkin for these very important remarks, and especially his proposition to use proton accelerator for muon physics and so on. And of course, we will include and will consider this program in the future. And I can repeat again, dear colleagues, our key point at the present stage is target station and to investigate possibilities to increase neutron flux, both in pulse and mean value. And for this program which was presented here, Igor, thank you. My congratulations to you, very good presentation. But the key parameter for this physics is mean neutron flux density. And if you will go to the level of 10 to 14, then we will be able to do all this experiment. But in any case, thank you for remarks, and we will take into account.
Thank you very much. I think that the discussion has shown that the idea is, of course, perfect, and it should be supported. Nevertheless, I felt that in your presentation, no details of a science case were given yet. Of course, the reason may be that this does not belong to our pack. It belongs to the nuclear physics pack. That's, of course, a very good argument. But I think, finally, of course, also a proper science case should be presented, and it should be discussed in each subgroups of the strategy working group as well. Yeah, Boris.
Science case is the absolute inherent part of the conceptual design report as well. It should be present there.
Yes, of course. There is, I think, still some confusion using the terms. What is technical design report at the very, very end, conceptual design report before, and just this sort of kickoff documents, a pre-kickoff documents, a wonderful pre-kickoff documents has already been presented by Viktor Lazarevich, but it should be, of course, developed and developed and so on until we reach this stage. I don't see further hands raising, so let me thank once again for the presentation and also for the comments. And let me announce now the coffee break of 20 minutes. So we will reconvene at 12:35. This room.
We are a bit ahead.
Yeah, sure. 12:20.